Always so thankful for that good fervent prayer. And the good news this morning is if the Lord blesses, this is a message for those that are skinned up, those that are cast down, those that are discouraged in this world. If you want to turn with me, we'll be in John chapter 14. The title of the message this morning is I Will Never Leave You. It's a wonderful blessing to think about. We've been looking at the I wills of God's word and have looked at several now words from Jesus, and we've spent a lot of time, if you want to borrow a theological term, Christology, we've spent the last few Sundays really digging into the nature of Christ, affirming who he is, and every one of these I wills, I have taken time to note that they are an affirmation of who Jesus Christ is. He's the Son of God, and when he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, he's going to bless. Again, we see all throughout Scripture, everyone that Jesus called to follow him and these I wills have followed him. When he says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest. There's the promise of rest for our souls as God's people as we come unto him. And then we look last Sunday where he said, I will cleanse you. And remember, the leprous man came and he didn't question the Lord's ability, but he asked the question, Lord, if thou wilt, will you cleanse me? And he said, I will cleanse you. And we noted that miracle that was performed. This man that was eat up with leprosy was immediately healed. And we noted how the work that Christ has done in our lives, we have been healed and delivered from sin. That's Christology. And what we have in John chapter 14 would be a theological term that's called pneumatology, because we're going to shift from Jesus Christ and he's going to point us to the Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead. And when we think about God and his blessings, I think in the world that we live in today, probably the most overlooked blessing that we have as God's people is the Spirit of God that dwells within us. But I've got good news for you. In 2025, as I said in my opening remarks, God is where he has always been, and the Spirit of God is where he has always been with his people. Those that are born again by the Spirit of God, it dwells within us. And what a blessing. I like to think of it this way. We have this connection with God always because of the Spirit. It's good to have connections. It's good to have connections in this world. I'm thankful that I know people that have connections if I have a question. Brother Tim, if you needed something, he knew somebody that could help. He could help with those connections. He was very connected in this world. Brother Darrell's the same way. If I've got something going on, and it doesn't matter what it is, Brother Darrell knows a person. There's connections that we have in this world. But I want you to know whatever your lot in life is in this world, we have the greatest connection, and that is we have this connection with God through the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And that's good news. That's a wonderful blessing that we're going to see that Jesus is going to remind his closest followers, the apostles, his closest disciples, that although he is leaving soon, he is going to be there with them because the Spirit of God is going to be with them. And what you read is you read John chapter 13. We're familiar with John chapter 13. It's on the heels of him giving them the example of the Lord's Supper, the example of communion that they were to do until he returned again. And he gave them that visible reminder of the bread that was broken. He told them that was a picture of his body, which was broken for them. And then he gave them wine, the fruit of the vine, which he said, this is my blood, which is shed for you. And then John 13, he kneels down and washes the disciples' feet. They didn't understand during that time. After he did that, they were fighting and arguing amongst themselves, and that was when he kneeled down and started washing their feet, and so on. Continues in John chapter 14, he's telling them that he is soon going to leave them. And we see in the progression of the Gospels, what is about to happen is he is about to be arrested and crucified for the sins of his people. Again, I don't think that they understood the magnitude of what was going on during that time. He was there with them. He says, I'm leaving. He says, just to paraphrase, where I'm going, you can't go. And as I was reading and studying this week, I couldn't help but just think about how upsetting and unsettling that was to them. They had been following him for some 3 years at this time. And you think about all the things that they witnessed, the miracles, all of the teaching, and in many ways, Jesus did pretty much everything for them as his disciples. They would have questions. He would speak in parables. They would have questions, and he would elaborate. They were there to witness the miracles that he performed. They saw him feeding the hungry, healing those that were sick, teaching, and breaking things down for them. And even as he is about to be arrested, he's there protecting them. I was thinking about this. You know, those guards came and he put himself in front of them and stated that he was the one that they were looking for. But now he tells them he is going to go away. And he says, where I'm going, you can't go. You talk about being unsettling. You talk about being upsetting. You talk about being discouraged and despondent. I believe that they were during this time. They didn't ultimately understand what was going on at that time, but they knew that their master was telling them that soon he was going to go away. And he had referenced more than one time that he was going to leave this world. But the wonderful blessing is in John chapter 14 is that as these conversations are going, he reminds them that he will never ultimately leave them. That's a wonderful blessing. And that's the big point that I want you to get this morning. Our God will never leave us. He is always with us. Now, what we're going to see in John chapter 14 is that we have to strive to remember those truths, strive to ever be cultivating those thoughts and that remembrance in our mind, because in the flesh, we forget those things. I think that one of the products of the culture that we live in today is we've been blessed with so much materially and influx of knowledge and technology and information that we as God's people oftentimes neglect to remember the supernatural, neglect to remember that there is something far beyond even the greatest technology and advances of this world, and that's our God that's on his throne and his spirit that dwells among us. So that sets the stage. We go to John chapter 14, and we're probably not going to get to everything this morning, but we'll start reading in verse 15. The context, again, he's told them that he's going to be leaving soon. They're upset. They're disturbed. They are unsettled. The natural question is, how do we move forward? Where do we go from here? And then he starts this in verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, he says, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And then in verse 18, he finally says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. We'll stop right there this morning, but I hope that you're already receiving some comfort and instruction from just reading this scripture here. Jesus gives them the wonderful blessing here that I will never leave you. So wherever you find yourself in life this morning, maybe you're asking the question yourself, how do I go forward? What am I to do? I've heard the word of God that has taught me these things, that we are to be fishers of men, and we're to come unto him when we labor and heavy laden. But my life situation at this point, my life's a mess. It's full of uncertainty, and I've been forsaken and abandoned by the people of this world. How do I go forward? We go forward in that truth that Jesus says here, I will never leave you. talks about here, this comforter that we're going to look at here in just a minute. This comforter, he says, that will abide with them forever. What he's telling them is essentially is, though he is leaving, it's going to be better for them because the Spirit of God is going to dwell within them. And I'm thankful, as you look throughout the human history, God has ultimately never forsaken us, never forsaken his people. You look back in the Old Testament time, the Spirit of God was there. The Spirit of God operated differently in the Old Testament time. You see, in the Old Testament time, the Spirit of God would come upon people, and many of the Old Testament saints would speak these profound words and sing these profound, wonderful songs glorifying God as the Spirit of God was with them. And the Spirit God spoke to his people in the Old Testament time through the mouths of prophets and blessed them and provided them guidance and information and comfort. And on some occasions, he would, through the mouths of prophets, speak judgment, but he was there. And now Jesus, the Messiah, in the Gospel of John, is here in the world, walking about the shores of Galilee. He's here in the flesh. He's incarnate. And prophecy was fulfilled. All of the prophets of the Old Testament spoke of the coming Messiah. He was there with them now. But he tells them that he's going to go away. He's going to go. What's he going to do? He's going to lay down his life for the sins of his people. But even in light of what was going to come, and for us, in light of what happened now, we have not been left alone because he is here with us in the Spirit. And that's a blessing. When we think about the other I wills that we've talked about, how are we able to be fishers of men? How are we able to communicate the good things that Jesus Christ has done for us and share the truth that we hold dear? How are we to find rest here in this world? How are we to have that rest that the comforts and the things that we have here in this life can't give us? It's through the Spirit of God, is it not? How do we realize that we've been cleansed? How do we now love the things that we once hated and hate the things that we once loved? Because of the Spirit of God. You may feel all alone this morning. We have those times, if we're being honest with ourselves, that we feel like we don't have any connection with anybody in this world. A lot of times, it's our perceptions. We have moods that we get in. We suffer negative things in life, and we feel like, well, I am all alone. Everybody has forsaken me in this world, and no one cares about me. My friends, I want you to understand that even if everyone in this world did forsake you, you are not alone. He says again in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's good news. You're never alone in this world. That's the greatest connection that I can bring before you this morning. You have the Spirit of God that dwells within you. You are never alone. What a wonderful blessing that is. You say, well, I feel alone. I don't feel like that the Spirit of God is within me. God's not gone anywhere. That's the third time I've said that this morning. The Spirit of God is where it's always been. What the problem is, again, in the secular world, the humanistic world that we live in today, we do not nurture the fellowship, if you will, with God that we're commanded to nurture in God's Word. You understand that? The Apostle Paul, I believe it was the church at Thessalonica, he would tell them to quench not the Spirit of God. I think what we do with all of the cares of this world is we quench the Spirit of God in our lives. It doesn't mean that the Spirit of God goes away. Now, some people believe that. Some people believe that you can have the Spirit of God one day and the Spirit of God will exit you the next day. That doesn't square with Scripture. When we're born again by the Spirit of God, it's always with us. But what happens is, in this flesh, we quench the Spirit. And what you have, this dynamic that Jesus is teaching his apostles here, is that he is leaving them, but he's not leaving them alone and not leaving them comfortless. And the teachings that he's going to see here, that we're going to see here, is that as God's people, we need to strive to abide in the Spirit of God that's already within us, is what he's teaching here. We see, he says that the Spirit is always there. The Holy Spirit is present in your life. But my friends, I want you to understand, when we fail to obey the commandments of God, or we allow the cares of this world to overwhelm us and get in the flesh, we can quench the Spirit. We can, in this flesh, we can get so wrapped up in the things of this world that we forget that the Spirit of God is there. Maybe not audibly. Maybe you have audibly said that. Well, I feel like God has just clean left me alone. No, God is still where He's always been, but due to grief, due to the circumstances of this life, due to sin, due to rebellion, we feel far away from Him. He's always where He's been. So I believe that's why we have these practical teachings in here that I read. You know, for John chapter 14 and verse 15, he says this: if you love me, keep my commandments. What does that mean? He's speaking to his apostles. He's speaking to his disciples. He says this: if you love me, keep my commandments. It doesn't say, keep my commandments and then I'll love you. He loves them. These are his children. He loves us, and he gives us this. This is practical. If you love me, keep my commandments. Then he goes on. We see here in verse 21, we'll just look at some of these verses in here. We didn't read verse 21 in our passage, but he would say this. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. That's not talking about loving Jesus in order to get eternal life. That's not talking about our relationship, but that's talking about fellowship. When we love him and we keep his commandments, are we not blessed in that? Do we not feel him nearer to us? Verse 23 of John chapter 14. He answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode in him. Verse 10 of John chapter 15 and verse 10, he says this. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Those are practical things that we're called to do. We're able to love him by the Spirit of God, and he talks about us abiding in him. What does the word abide mean? The word abide means to come near to come alongside to. The Spirit of God abides within us. Now, what we have to do is abide in him. And when we do that, we feel his blessings, we feel his presence. We're called in God's word over and over again to keep ourselves through the obedience of his word. Not in order to obtain eternal life, but we do it, and when we do it, we enjoy the blessings of life, blessings of God, and we feel him near to us. You know, when we come to the house of the Lord, I hope that you feel near unto the Lord. I believe that's one of the reasons we have worship, to gather together and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and he blesses us with this felt presence. Well, he does that in every other area of our lives as well, when we're faithful and we obey him. As his children, he says, you abide in me. And Christ is that example. But going on, I want you to see that the presence of the Holy Spirit is a promise that is given to us as God's people. Now, going back to John chapter 14 and verse 16, remember he says this, and I will pray, he says, I'm going to be going. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. That's where the Spirit of God abides in us as God's children that are born again. It abides with us forever. It doesn't say that the Spirit of God abides with us when we do everything right, when we keep all of the commandments of God. No, the Spirit of God abides with us forever. I can't emphasize that enough. Now we can hinder our fellowship with God and quench the Spirit, but it's always there. And that's a blessing that we enjoy as the New Testament church on this side of the cross. In the Old Testament time, the way I understand it, the Spirit of God is eternal. It's been here forever. But the operation of the Spirit, you would see that the Spirit of God would come upon people. But in the New Testament church, we enjoy the Spirit of God in a unique way, in that it is always with us. And Jesus is telling them now, he says, after I'm crucified and after the resurrection, that the Spirit of God, it is going to come and it is going to abide with you forever. And I love this. When you break this verse down, he says, He shall give you another comforter. The word another there is a unique word in Greek because there's a lot of different meanings for another. Even in the English language, when you start really drilling down, another can have multiple meanings. And it's interesting, by the inspiration of God, the Greek that's used here is the Greek word allos. And there's two words that in Greek that can mean another. One of them is heteros. We understand the word heteros. We get the term heterosexual. Heteros means another of a different kind. It's like me and my wife. I am a human being. I am a male. And my wife is another human being. She is a female. You see, you can have another of a different kind. But the terminology that's used here in the words of the Lord is allos, that literally means another of the exact same kind. What a wonderful blessing that Jesus, when he says here, I'm going to give you another comforter, he's not saying here that I'm going to send another God. He's not saying here, I'm going to send some lesser deity to be with you. He says here, the Father shall give you another comforter, another of the same kind. He's talking about the Godhead. He says, though I am being crucified, another comforter of the same kind is coming, and it's going to dwell with you and abide with you forever. You know, in John chapter 14 and verse 17, notice this, and this is interesting. We think about the Spirit of God dwelling within us. I love how this is verbalized. This is a great comfort to us. John chapter 14 and verse 17, he would say this, even the Spirit of truth, it says, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Spirit of God here is called the Spirit of truth. And we have here, it says, he dwelleth with you. And we have that distinction here of what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights. He says here that the world cannot receive it because it can't see it. We believe in particular redemption. We believe that those that Christ died for are the ones that are going to be blessed and born again by the Spirit of God. That goes into irresistible grace. But it says, he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, verses 19 and 20, he reiterates this, but a little bit differently. Yet a little while, it says, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. Verse 20, and that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me. And notice this, I in you. He's saying, I'm dwelling in you with the Spirit. Hold on to your hats. We're going to talk about the Trinity in just a minute. One more place though, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And notice this, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That is another of the exact same kind. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He says, we're going to dwell and we're going to make our abode in him. He's essentially saying here, the Trinity will be with you. And I'm going to be honest, I can't wrap my finite mind around that. You know, people try to explain the doctrine of the Trinity, and really it's the finite trying to comprehend the infinite. A three-in-one God. You say, well, how do you explain that? The finite has difficulty, and it's impossible to fully explain and comprehend the infinite, but he says here, we will make our abode in you. You know, and people have used all sorts of explanations before. You know, people use the illustration of the different forms of water. You can have a solid and a liquid and a gas. Even at that falls short. Here's what I've come down to in my some whatever 30 some odd years of trying to really study and understand the Bible. I don't understand it, but by faith I believe it. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You know, there's just some things that we have to accept by faith. And by faith, I believe that. When Jesus says, I'm going to dwell in you, I'm going to be in you, when it talks about the Spirit of God dwelling within us, and then it says, we will come unto him and make our abode in him, I believe that because by faith, that's the hope and that's the comfort that I get. We're called to walk by faith. Again, the world doesn't like to hear that today. The world likes to say, well, if I can't see it with my own eyes, if I can't touch it, then it must not be so. No, we believe in God in three persons by faith. We trust by faith that we serve the triune God. I like that. That's the best thing that I found out there, because that tells us that our God has a relationship with his people. I encourage you, or I challenge you, I guess, to find any other religious system in the world that shows that God, their God, has an intimate relationship with their with his followers. You won't find it out there. Allah does not have an intimate relationship with those that follow him. You will not find it in the Quran. Other religions have their gods aloof and afar off. Or gods that are fickle, and gods that kind of got things started and are disconnected. But what a wonderful blessing. We have a God who can relate to us. We understand Jesus Christ came down. He was incarnate. He was verily God and verily man. He walked about this world. The Bible says he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He knows the troubles and the trials and the difficulties and the sufferings and the challenges that we have. But then I'm thankful that we have the Spirit of God that dwells within us, that's with us, and will never leave us. You talk about a personal relationship, it doesn't get any more personal than that. God is with us through the Spirit. And one encouragement that was to these apostles, the disciples, who thought, well, he is going to be leaving us soon. What are we going to do? How do we move forward? How do we live our lives? He says, I will not forsake you. I will never leave you. What a wonderful blessing. By faith, we understand that. Aren't you thankful we have a God that can relate to us? He can relate to the problems that I have. I might have a problem and I could talk to you, and maybe you've been through a similar situation that I'm going through right now, and you can offer some advice, you can offer some perspective. But even if we've had similar situations, the way we experience things are different because we're different people. Or maybe I can bring something to you and you don't really have a clue how to relate about it. Well, the Spirit of God within us, the one who died for us, the one who knows us, is always with us. And that's where we get in verse 16. I want you to see the comprehensiveness of this truth. He said, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, another of the same kind, Spirit of God, another comforter, it says, that he may abide with you forever. That word comforter, you know, we think about that definition, and we may have a very narrow view of that definition in our own lives. Well, you might think about that thing you put on your bed, a comforter. But we may think of comfort as just something that's being convenient, something that is, something that just helps our feelings or something like that. You know, we comfort people sometimes. We try to help their feelings in some form or fashion. But this word that Jesus uses here is an expansive word. When he uses this word comforter, it carries the definition of a helper. The Spirit of God, he says, I will give you another comforter. It can be a synonym for that can be a helper. I'm giving you something to help you along your way. The word can also be translated counselor. The word can be translated as someone who is coming on alongside us in our journey. The Greek word here is parakletos, paraclete. And that word literally means to call or to come alongside. He's saying, I am leaving you right now, but the comforter, the one is going to come alongside you, and he's going to provide those things that you need in this world. I'm thankful for counselors in this world. There are wonderful, godly counselors. There are folks that do noble work in helping people navigate the challenges of life. But never has there been a comforter and a counselor like the Spirit of God that dwells within us, that convicts us, that has all sorts of workings in our lives. We could spend hours talking about all of the works of the Spirit in the lives of God's people. We've talked about a little bit. The Word of God talks about the Spirit of God as being a helper, as being a counselor. We have in the Bible, the Spirit of God is referenced as an advocate, as we've seen a comforter, an encourager. The spirit of wisdom, by the Spirit of God, we have wisdom that this world does not have. We've already read previously in John chapter 14, the Spirit of God is also referenced as the Spirit of truth. Verse 17 of John chapter 14, he would elaborate on what he just said in verse 16. He says this, even the Spirit of truth, he says, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. We are blessed with the Spirit of God when we're born again, and we are blessed with insight and perspective that this world can't give. That's why we have to be mindful of the company that we keep and mindful of what advice and what wisdom we allow in our lives. There's a worldly wisdom that's contrary to God's Word, and by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God helps us discern these things, and we're blessed. He says this is the Spirit of truth, says, whom the world cannot receive. And what a wonderful blessing. This comes from the direction of God, where it brings us help in our times of need. Do you realize that this morning? I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I forget this. Sometimes I forget that the Spirit of truth dwells within me. You know, the flesh will rear up sometimes and think, well, I know better. I know what I need to do in my life. I've got my beliefs, and I know the direction that I should go to. Wait a minute. We have the Spirit of truth that's dwelling within us. We need, as God's people, to abide in that Spirit of truth. When I get down, when I get discouraged, I need to remind myself, I've got the Comforter with me. God is with me. I need to remind myself through the Spirit of God what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. The Spirit of truth, I love that. The Holy Spirit is known as the Spirit of truth. I had someone ask the question some time ago, is it proper, is it okay to pray to the Holy Spirit? Well, he's called the Spirit of truth. And every time I approach God's Word, you know, even ministers of the gospel, I don't have all the answers. Every time I read God's Word, if I'm studying and reading God's Word as I ought to, there's going to be things that I come across with that I don't have light on. You know what I do during those times? I pray that God would bless me in the Spirit to rightly divide and discern the truth of God's Word. Pray, Spirit of God, help me understand the things of God. I think one of the things, I think that we've become so cautious about that because there are folks that go to the extreme and say that a lot of crazy stuff is done by the Spirit of God. This is not biblical and truthful. You know, chaotic things and well-meaning people get wrapped up in that. You see, it's what's popular on television. When you look at the religious landscape in the United States of America today, many religious institutions have been on the decline, but what has grown are these places that are so-called charismatic churches where they do all of these things that it's out there and in the name of the Spirit. That's not in accordance with Scripture. Actually, the Bible says let everything be done decently and in good order. But we see that and we shy away from understanding that the Spirit of God is within us and works within us and is a blessing to us, and it's the Spirit of truth. It's a comforter. The Spirit of God is with us and dwells within us, and we can get encouragement. We can seek wisdom and truth by the Spirit of God. Paul would say that natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, but because they're spiritually discerned. But we have the Spirit of God. We have to exercise that discernment. We have to not quench the Spirit of God. And if we're being real, so many times we try to pursue everything else in this world because of human nature being what it is, pursue everything else in this world before we come back to that understanding. You know, again, I'm thankful for worldly counselors. There's times when it's appropriate and that's needful. But never underestimate and forget that you have the counselor within. You know, that convicts our conscience, that is the Spirit of truth. And we can pray unto God. You talk about connections. Because we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, we can pour out our petitions to God anytime, and we can rest assured that they will be heard. Now, some of my connections, I may think that I have connections, but I may call somebody for a piece of information. It happens all the time. Call somebody for something, and I may not get a call back. You may have to follow up to get an answer that you need, or you may never get in touch with somebody. It still blows my mind. Had job interviews a couple weeks ago, trying to hire people to do jobs, and how many people you line up, and you call them for a job for something they want, and they just ghost you altogether and disappear. Sometimes you get ghosted in this world. You're never ghosted by God. He is always there. Now, we can run after everything else in this world, but it is far inferior to the Spirit of God. And how many decisions that we do we make where we fail to take into account God's truth and God's word, or we neglect to just in our prayers ask for discernment and ask for wisdom? We seek counsel in everything else in this world. Well, What is popular opinion? What's it say? Let me check what popular opinion is to make my decision, or let me see what my friends are doing. Let me get input from my friends. Let me get counsel from other people. Or Lord forbid, I'm going to seek my own counsel. I'm going to do things my own way. When I decide I'm going to be the Lone Ranger, that's when I usually get in trouble. But we have the Spirit of God. You know, the answer to life's problems is not us, it's not the world, but it's to submit ourselves to God. What a wonderful blessing. This is what he's teaching his disciples here. Again, God is always God. But he says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. Why is he telling them this? Because fellowship with God is important. He says, I'm going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, he says, the world can't receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. He says, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you. Verse 18, then he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He's going to tell them in a little while, the world's going to see him no more. But then in verse 21, he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. This is talking about fellowship. Quench not the Spirit of God. Well, what does that mean for me? What does that mean? What do I need to be doing? Well, as God's people, we need to be nurturing fellowship with him. You know, it sounds simple, but in the flesh, it's so difficult. Think about any relationship, any fellowship that we have in this life. Think about the relationship you have with your spouse. If we're not nurturing that relationship, what's going to happen? You're going to grow distant. You're going to grow cold. And so it is in the service of God. We need to nurture. That's why we come and assemble ourselves together in the Lord's house, where we're mutually together and encourage ourselves in these songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Why is this? It draws us closer to God. It takes our minds off of the distractions of this world for a period of time. And we're called to do that. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about keeping his commandments. I think so many times I don't hear the Spirit of God because I'm not nurturing the fellowship with the Spirit of God as I ought. But it's something that we're called to cultivate. And the good news is it's something that we can recapture as God's people. And this was a reminder to them. I want to go, let me see here. This just came to mind. I want us to go where the Bible teaches us to quench not the Spirit of God. In 1 Thessalonians, how do you do this? Here's one of the, to borrow a modern term, one of the cheat codes for God's Word is, as you read the epistles, the first part of the epistles are doctrinal truths. They are written for the encouragement of God's people. They're written to remind God's people of doctrinal truths. And then as you go further in the epistles, you have practical teaching that encourages us and helps keep us focused as God's people. And we come to that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 as he's relaying these practical things to God's people. There's a lot of practical teachings. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he would start out in verse 14. He said, Paul's writing this. He says, now we exhort you, brethren. So he's exhorting them. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Cultivating fellowship with God is doing the things that are taught in God's Word. As we do these things, we're blessed. Verse 16, he would say, rejoice evermore. Have a spirit and an attitude of rejoicing. Pray without ceasing. Be thankful, in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. These are all things that we're commanded to do. Then in verse 19, he says, quench not the Spirit. When we neglect to cultivate our fellowship with God through obedience, through following his commandments, I believe it quenches the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't go away, but it gets buried in all of the stuff of life. I don't know about you, but I've got a lot of stuff. You know, you ever heard somebody that, I was talking to somebody that's re-entered the dating world. You know, I feel sorry for anybody in that world right now. But this person was talking, and they were saying, well, I like so-and-so, but he comes with a lot of baggage. The first thing I thought was, dang, we all come with a lot of baggage, really. I know I'm not hard. I know I'm hard to live with. I know I've got a lot of stuff. The baggage of life as God's people, we need to set it at his feet. And we do that through obedience, spirit of rejoicing, being prayerful, being thankful. Those are the things that cultivate a mindfulness of the Spirit of God. That's the abiding of the Spirit of God. What a wonderful God we have. He will never leave us. He is always with us through the Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the three-in-one God. Again, for our finite minds, it's difficult to comprehend, but by faith, that is the comfort that we have. We'll stop there. We'll take up a little bit more of this and go in a little bit more depth, Lord willing, next Sunday. But I hope that's an encouragement to you as we think about the truth of God's Word. I will not leave you. We may get left in this world. That's a sad reality of this world. Even those that claim to love us and care about us the most may leave us or forsake us. But our God, he has never left us alone. What a wonderful blessing. That's encouragement for those of us that are scarred up by this world, those of us that have been disappointed by this world. What a wonderful blessing that is. That's the amazing grace of God. Let's sing Amazing Grace. Let's turn to 257.